All of the food we eat and much of the clothing we wear comes from plants and animals that are raised on farms. Farms are different in type, in size, and even in name.
Welcome to Barn Talk. We are at the end of the year. This is the last episode of Barn Talk for 2022. And everybody is out giving their predictions for 2023 and giving their rah, 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 pump up. But we're going to do it a little different. We know that you're just as weak as we are. So we're going to wait and give you our rah, 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 pump up, conquer the world episode sometime in January when you've already quit going to the gym and you've gone off your diet and you bought that 64-ounce big gulp and you're feeling low. We got you. We'll come for you. So we're not going to worry about the New Year's resolutions. Well, there's plenty of time for that. Today, we figured we'd give you kind of an update on some things that are near and dear to my heart that we haven't talked about very much, but going on in the world. We're going to talk about Tesla. We're going to talk about Twitter. And we're going to talk about a story about cold fusion. And that kind of got brushed to the wayside, but I think it's pretty important. And we're going to discuss that. But
before we do that, guys, you know the drill, pay the fee. If you get any value from the show, share it out with your friends, family, coworkers, employees, whoever. The more you guys share the show, the better guests we can have on, the more people we can reach, the bigger impact we can have. It's just good for everybody if you guys share the show, and we appreciate everybody that's been doing that. Also, feel free to leave a review on Spotify or Apple. We're almost up to 500 five-star reviews on Spotify, which is awesome, and then we're at 204 on Apple, so we love hearing from you guys. We love seeing that you guys are liking the show, so continue to do that as well. And if you guys want to submit questions for a Barn Talk Q&A episode, you can submit them at barntalkshow@gmail.com. And that's where we can get your questions and we'll answer them on our Q&A episodes. But yeah, like Dad was saying, this is going to be a hot topics episode. So it's going to be less about politics and more, I don't think as much doom and gloom either.
No.
I think there's some upside here. So
there is some upside.
I'm looking forward to getting into it. Dad definitely probably knows a lot more about this stuff than I do. I know the headlines and a little bit, but I think he really knows the nitty gritty details. So he might do a lot more talking than I do in this one. But hey, that's all right. That's all right with me. But here he's gonna give you a good old market update because we haven't had one of those in a hot minute. So
yeah,
take it away.
We're going to do a vast and wide market update. I would say next week probably be a Q&A. We haven't done a Q&A for a while, so we'll probably...
I don't know. I think next week we'll probably do a guest. We got one in the oven.
Are we going to tell people who...
Nope.
All right.
It's going to be a secret.
We're actually ahead of the game. We've got some stuff in the oven ready to go. So anyway, but submit your questions because a Q&A will be coming soon. Market update. Corn today, 674, and I think that's the close. I got a text message from Katz Grain. Shout out to Katz Grain, Washington, Iowa. That's who we get our prices from for the Barn Talk market update. Eddyville sent out a bid for the first half of January. They're paying 704 for the first half of January. So close today, 674, so they must need a little corn down in Eddyville. Beans, 1482, and I forgot to look and see what the price was at the river. Wheat, 774. Hogs, $91. Cattle, 157. Oil, 78.28. Gold is $1,812. And I want to say it's worked its way up. I want to say that I should have looked back, but might have been about $1,600 earlier in the year. Silver's actually worked up quite a bit, $2,375. And I think for the year, silver is up like 4%, which you'd say, well, 4% is not very good. But when you consider that the S&P 500 is down like, what, 30%? And Tesla's down 60%? I don't know. 4%, pretty good if you would have thrown all your money in that. Bitcoin, it's just muddling through, 16,600. Ethereum, 1,197. So Cardano has gotten the crap whipped out of it, 25 cents. That is the lowest it's been in quite a while. And Tesla, $113 last time I looked. That was not the close. It has been on, it's just been getting beat and beat bad.
Yeah, I think everybody understands, well, everybody that pays attention to Tesla, which if you pay attention to the stock market, you probably see a Tesla article every day. But it's going down, and I think everybody knows it's going down. But for us, I look at that as like just a late Black Friday sale.
I know.
You know, right? And it's, hey, this is not financial advice, but hey, Black Friday, if you're looking to buy some cheap stocks, because there's a lot out there that are good, but Tesla's one of those that, you know, you guys all know when you listen to the show, we think it's got a lot of potential. And really, it's in the tank, and institutional investors are, you know, shitting on it, but why are they shitting on it? Why is the price so low, Dad? What's the deal? What's gone on? What's gone so wrong that it deserves this drastic decline?
Yeah, so I think there's a few things. If you look at the ownership of Tesla compared to other tech stocks and other stocks in its market cap, the percentage of stock owned by funds and institutional investors is a lot lower than other stocks, say Google or Apple or something like that. And that's because even though they're in a much better financial situation than, say, a GM or a Ford or even a lot of tech companies, because they have virtually no debt, they have really good operating margins. I mean, their gross automotive margin is like 18%. And you compare that with somebody like Ford, whose operating margin might be 4%. I don't know if it even, like for this year, for the year end in 22, I'd be surprised if they actually end up with even 4%. But you don't have the demand for the stock that you do with some tech stocks because institutions have stayed away from it. And part of that is because they don't understand it, which you might say, how is that true? Because it's been around so long now that everybody should have it figured out. But Wall Street has a weird history with companies that don't fit the mold. And there's still a lot of companies that they look at Tesla as an automotive company when in reality it's a software company, it's a tech company. And the auto business in general has had a tough time. And then there's a lot of concern about China and about the demand for cars within China, which obviously that has been hurt because the Chinese economy is shit.
Dog shit.
But I think what people don't understand is every car that they make in China is going to get sold. If the auto market in China deteriorates, they will just export those cars because currently they're taking a lot of that to Europe because the plant in Germany is not anywhere near full capacity. And let's face it, that's another problem that they have, because you build a plant in China, and now then China has had incredible problems because of the COVID lockdown. So you build a plant in Germany, the center of the European automotive world, and then energy prices go through the roof because Russia decides to invade Ukraine and the economy's trash and energy prices are through the roof. So now then that looks like that may be a tough road. I think all of those things together.
Plus Elon spending what looks like a good amount of time on Twitter to the public eye probably pisses him off and takes the price down a little bit too. So
yeah, because conventional wisdom, wouldn't you say, you know, when we think about companies out there like Lockheed Martin, like you wouldn't think about the guy that runs like Lockheed Martin running Ford too.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you think about Elon's running SpaceX, running Tesla, running the Boring Company, and now running Twitter.
Is Starlink part of SpaceX or is that another?
Starlink is part of SpaceX. Now, he has incredible people that are running those businesses. He is the CEO, but...
he's got good boards.
He's got really good people. Mm-hmm. And one thing that we all should have learned from Twitter is he looks at not only he, but his team. And let's not forget, he has an amazing team because you can't do what he does without that. But at Twitter, I don't really know what the head count was when he went there, but he has cut a tremendous amount of overhead out of that company and actually improved the features of the app. So his ability to multitask is, I would say, kind of unheard of in the corporate world. But I think that's a dig to him. I think that's one of the things that makes people nervous.
Well, it's just like everything. When people see something new, they're not a ton of people are always ready to just jump on it. Yeah. And I mean, Tesla is new and innovative in everything they do. Elon is a one-of-a-kind guy, and it's just like totally new to the world. It's totally new to people. And so, yeah, I think a lot of traditional guys that are in Wall Street don't get that.
Yeah. Don't you think it's interesting, too, that Elon is today hated? I'd say, and hated is a strong word, but I think it's proven itself out. He is hated, feared, ridiculed by the left, by the woke part of the left.
By the media now.
But isn't it ironic that you've got the guy that jump-started the electric, restarted the EV revolution in the world, and was held up by the environmentalists and the people that were pushing the Green New Deal? Tesla was like the darling of that, and they all loved him. Then he buys Twitter, and his mantra of free speech and getting rid of the corruption and exposing, if anybody's heard, seen any of the Twitter files, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. So these far lefters,
you're either all in or you're not.
Yeah.
That's how it goes with them.
Their blood is just shooting out of their eyes because it's like he's turned to the dark side, mm-hmm. And I think that's hurt the stock too, because you just have basically at the end of the day, the biggest thing working against Tesla stock is uncertainty. It's not the fundamentals.
So talk about the fundamentals a little bit, because you have them written down here.
Yeah. And
if you look on paper, the stock should not be down.
No, it should not.
It seems like it's all the bullshit around the stock and the guy running it that makes the stock going down. It's on paper, the company running, it shouldn't be down.
Yeah.
But it is.
Their margins are best in class. So their PE ratio, think about this.
What is PE?
So price to earnings. So in other words, the price of one share of stock, what the total number of shares divided by the amount of earnings. So in other words, a lot of these tech companies would have a PE that's over 100. So in other words, you're paying one share of stock, you're paying over 100. I don't know how to put that to where it sounds right. Their PE is over 100. And when Tesla's share price was, say it was $300 a share, well, their PE was, actually it was even higher than that. It was $580 a share before the split or more than that. Today, it's like 19. Well, that's the same price to earnings ratio as a company like Hershey's Chocolate or General Mills or PepsiCo. So a traditional consumer stock that's very stable but has very limited growth. It's very consistent. they have a very low PE. Traditional tech stocks have a high PE because you're paying a premium for what future growth looks like. And Tesla's outlook for future growth hasn't changed any. So the and their profit margin hasn't changed any. So their deliveries in the third quarter were off a little bit because of the lockdowns in China and problems with, I wouldn't say they're really demand problems. I would say it's more logistic problems and people actually being able to get out to buy a vehicle. And if you're in lockdown, you don't need a car. And if you're thinking about buying a car, but yet you're uncertain as to whether you're even going to have a job to go to, you're probably not going to buy a car.
Well, if they change your COVID status to red, you don't own anything. So
right.
Going into a pod.
Yeah. So it's there's a lot of things that was out of their control on that. But still, their sales held up really, really well. So the fundamentals of the company hasn't changed. It's really, and then you've got macro. And macro is, when I say macro, I mean the stock market in general, tech stocks specifically, have been beaten terrible. Whether you're talking about Google, whether you're talking about Meta, any of these tech stocks have been beaten down hard through this too. I mean, the whole stock market's down. If you take out oil and gas companies, I think Occidental Petroleum is the best performing stock this year in the S&P 500. So anyway, long story short.
Well, I want to run through them. So margin is more than two times the competition.
Yeah. So when you talk about all other auto companies, traditional, whether it's Toyota, Ford, GM, their margin on the vehicles they sell, very unusual for them to have a margin more than, let's give them the benefit of the doubt and maybe say 6%. Tesla's margin is 18%. So that means that they can sell way fewer cars and make more money. And if you look at last year, when we ended up last year, Tesla was within a few hundred million dollars of having the same, actually I think it was much closer than that, of having the same amount of profit as what Ford had over a much, much smaller gross sales number. In other words, they didn't sell near as many cars for near as much money, but they made way more money per car than what Ford did. So at the end of the day, their profit was almost the same.
Mm-hmm.
And here's another interesting fact that people need to understand. We've talked about this before. You take a company like Ford, and I don't mean to bag on Ford because I think that they get it better than GM does. I think GM is probably, if I had to pick one company that I think is probably headed for bankruptcy and another government bailout, it's GM, because Mary Barra is one of the worst CEOs. She's terrible, and she doesn't know what the hell she's doing, my personal opinion. But you take a company like Ford, if you take out the money they make off the Ford F-150, they lose money. In other words, they lose, their profit is totally hitched to the sale of half-ton pickups. And if they don't have that income, they lose money on everything else. Mm-hmm. The Mustang Mach-E that competes with the Model 3, they lose money on every one of those they sell. The F-150 Lightning, which they're selling, is a great vehicle, well done for them, can't get any. Their production is low on it, but their margin on that is not very good. It's not near as good as what Tesla makes on the vehicles they sell. So all these legacy automakers have a real problem, because as they transition, they're going from the vehicles that they make the most money on. GM being the same way. They make a lot of money on pickups. They make a lot of money on Suburbans and Tahoes. They do not make money on the Chevy Bolt. They do not make money on their hybrids, because their cost of production, the cost of the batteries, the cost of the labor to do it, it's all high.
No debt. They got no debt. They're making money when others are burning cash and They don't have much profit. It's just kind of what you were talking about right there. They're going to have to make, they're going to have to convince you to buy more F-150s so they can turn around and take that money into production of EVs, and probably going to have to take some debt to do the same thing to get the production going. And none of the EVs right now are making them money.
And the cost of that debt.
Yep. Interest is going up. So if you got debt on the production of trying to make electric vehicles, if you're Ford or GM, your interest just went up. So, yeah, Tesla's running with no debt.
Yeah, they're running on cash. And I think that's one of the biggest stories in 23, depending on how long this interest rate hike. We seem to have a Fed that is very determined to absolutely kill inflation no matter what. So if you're a company and you're running on debt and you're having to borrow money, the cost of doing that, we've run 15 years on basically no cost. You could borrow money for nothing, very close to nothing. Now, it's costing something, and it's costing more every Fed meeting. It's costing some more. So I think that's going to be a big problem for them going forward. What else?
Semi is real. It's profitable. Got 35 already running at PepsiCo. 100 plus coming in 23.
Yeah. Which their margin on that semi is probably... It could be over 20%. And it's one of those things, they just have to weigh out the benefit of selling those versus selling more cars, because the drawback to the semi is every semi you manufacture, those packs are so big that you're taking battery supply that you could be making cars with. And I don't know what the ratio is. Like, the battery pack on one semi might be like 4 or 5 Model 3s. So you got to weigh that all out.
Can they make more money selling 5 cars versus one semi?
Right. But at the end of the day, they're dedicated to it because of all the emissions that get put out worldwide. It's something like only... And I could get this wrong, so do your own research, but just for argument's sake, let's say that the percentage of vehicles on the road, 20% of the vehicles are heavy trucks, and they create 40% of the emissions. So it might be smaller than that. It might be 15%. I can't remember exactly, but it's the percentage of vehicles of heavy trucks versus the amount
of
emissions.
How much they put out.
Is big, and that's why they're committed to doing the semi. And it's, once again, every one of those they sell, every one of those they produce, they're going to sell, no doubt about it.
Yeah, those are pretty much all the fundamentals you got. I mean, we talked about China and its trash ass economy. All the other legacy autos, they're doing exactly what we said, trying to convince you to buy the gas combustion engine vehicles to turn around and take that money for production of EVs, and they're losing their ass doing it. I think, it's like you said, I think Ford is definitely in the right direction, BMW, but GM, you see commercials of GM and what they're coming out EV-wise, they don't even put a fucking date on when you're able to order one. It's just all promotion, it's all brand, and it's like everybody, we'll be watching a game and Chevy something will come up and it's an EV. I can't remember. I think it was the Silverado. I don't know if they're coming out with a Chevy Silverado EV version. But everyone's like, oh, look at that. Tesla's fucked. And then I'm like, just wait. Let's see when they're coming. And it gets to the end of the commercial and it, nothing.
Delivery date.
Nothing. There's not one. There's not even one. It's like, because they're not even close to getting that out. There's not even close.
Yeah, and I think one more thing I'll kind of end on the Tesla bit is the speed of iteration or the speed of change at which they engineer and improve their product is something that the rest of the automotive industry has they know nothing of doing it that way. So their product is improved constantly, and most of the improvement comes through software. Some of it is hardware. So starting in January, Model 3 and Model Y, and I think the Model S and X have already made this change, but the actual master computer, the full self-driving computer that pretty much runs the car, starting in January, those cars have a new chip. And it is it's a faster chip, and it gives them faster compute times, all that. But that's really one of the first like things that they've done that hasn't been an improvement that they can just do with a software update. And the rest of the automotive world, they are not only are they far behind, but they're not catching up. They're probably falling back further, and decisions that they make are having real impact on the speed in which they are falling behind. And the best example I can give you with that is Volkswagen. Volkswagen abandoned their ID3 platform. They're not going to expand that. And the one guy within Volkswagen that was their CEO, they fired him because he was pushing them to change faster than what the rest of the board wanted to change. So rather than take a hard look at themselves and say, you know, what do we have to do to be competitive? They said, let's get rid of him. So
overall, what do you feel about the Tesla stock? Are you worried? Are you, looking forward to the future? Is it going to turn around? What's your thoughts on that?
So I never looked at the money that I invested in Tesla as something that I was going to get out before I was old. Like, I look at Tesla as at some point far in the future, I'm going to have a really big nest egg sitting there if I need it. So I think the stock trades sideways. At these levels, does it go below 100? I'd be very surprised. I think it would take a real big miss at the end of 22 when they report their numbers for the stock to break below 100. And if it did, I would probably shake the cushions and the floor mats out of my Jeep and go buy whatever I could buy. Because on Christmas Day, we were all sitting around the table and I had everybody write down what their stock prediction was for 12/25 of 23. And I don't remember what everybody's was, but they were all fairly close. They were all within the $500-$600 range. And if I had to say, I would say that I believe that a year from now, Tesla stock, a lot of people had a $300 price target for Tesla. And that doesn't take into account them solving full self-driving, and it doesn't take into account them actually getting Cybertruck, which is their pickup, launched in 2023. And I think both of those things are going to happen. And
what's your prediction?
585.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the stock could easily be 585. It could be $600 by the end of the year. Will it be? It could be 300. But I can guarantee you by the end of 23, it won't be 100. It won't be where it is now. It's going to be higher.
Yeah.
And I think it'll take us until first quarter of 2024 before we're really out of this recession. But I think the recovery in Tesla will start well before that.
Yeah, and I think all this bullshit about just Elon and all the stuff we were talking about before, the fundamentals, like if you guys heard us, the fundamentals of the business, they're profitable. They're making twice as much margin as their competitors. You know, they're way ahead of all the competition. Like the fundamentals of the business are great, and they're not just a car company. That we just talked about all the fundamentals of the car side. They got AI. They're collecting all that data. They're trying to develop and perfect full self-driving. They got the Tesla bot. I mean, they're doing Tesla Semi, the mega packs, the charging. They're going to own the charging network. I mean, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but just know when you think and you see all these articles coming out about how Tesla is shit and this and this and that, and all they talk about is the automotive side of the business, and they don't say anything about any of the other stuff, they're fucking crazy for calling it an automotive company. It's not an automotive company. It's those traditional people on Wall Street that are scrutinizing that specific stock. And let's be honest, some of those people on Wall Street probably have vested interest in big oil and gas and legacy auto. I mean, they've been around for a while, right? And so obviously if they're heavily invested in legacy auto, they don't really want to see Tesla succeed. True. But I mean, that's just me with my tinfoil hat on. But
no, you're 100% right. And Tesla has traditionally been one of the most shorted stocks on Wall Street, and it's heavily shorted right now. In other words, people betting the price is going to go down. So there's a lot of people that profit. I mean, it's like the Chicago Board of Trade. There's people profit both ways, whether it's going up or down. And right now, there's a lot of people that are profiting from the stock moving down. And that's just how it goes. But I think the fundamentals over time will win out. And part of that is going to be the Twitter thing is going to go away. That's going to get settled.
Yeah.
In fact,
I think he's trying to find a new CEO. He's going to step down as the CEO of Twitter. That's what it's looking like. And he's going to move back over to Tesla, focus
full time.
More. Yeah, he's going to go full time into Tesla and kind of do what he was doing before Twitter. And I think that's good. So that's kind of a good tie in to our next subject, which is Twitter. And you know, I'll give Elon so much credit for, you know, every time that he's got a thought that's really important for Twitter to be more successful, he always puts it out on Twitter to ask people. And like, he straight up asked people, who should I appoint as the new CEO of Twitter? And Lex Fridman commented and said he would do it. Mr. Beast commented and said he would do it, which if Mr. Beast didn't become the CEO, I think he could add a lot of value to how that platform should work. Because, I mean, he's the king of content on YouTube, and he's probably the most viral influencer in the entire planet. So he's got some insight that would be, I think could be awesome for Twitter, could at least be on the board. But yeah, if you've been paying attention at all to Twitter, which I highly recommend you, if you haven't, you should look at the Twitter files, because it was an absolute dumpster fire, shit show, whatever you want to call it. It's still going on, still releasing more and more files of all the corruption that was behind Twitter. And Elon is just trying to show people what was actually happening behind the scenes, because he has said that the only way we can move forward is to show people what happened in the past behind the scenes. And if we want a true transparent platform and truly free of speech, we got to show people our mistake. And government was heavily involved in so much of it. CIA, FBI, censoring certain people, censoring one side of the aisle more than the other, conservatives, shadow banning people without them even knowing, Fed sending certain content to Twitter for them to censor or block or take off the platform, Twitter people thinking that they got the big swinging their cock around and saying, well, we can ban the president of the United States. We could probably do it again if we needed to. I mean, the list goes on and on. There's stuff about COVID on there. There's stuff about storming the Capitol. There's stuff on there about the election in 2020. I mean, there's Hunter so Biden. Much shit. Hunter Biden is on there. So if you haven't, go check that out, because that is the real shit. That is the proof of, hey, the government is censoring and colluding with big tech to take away our rights. I mean, that's straight up proof that is happening and was happening on Twitter, but is happening not only on Twitter. That's one example.
Yeah.
If you think that that's not happening on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, you'd be fucking lying to yourself, because it definitely is. But I'm just glad it's all coming out. I think Elon has done a phenomenal job of turning Twitter around. I'm kind of sad to see him go, if he has to go back to Tesla, just because he's done so much so early in just owning it for the better that it kind of sucks. But he isn't going to pick some shitty CEO either to run it. I trust that he'll have somebody step up that can kind of collude with him and do better. But yeah, it's just it's just an absolute shit show on there.
He will not be absent.
No.
You know, he's got a great team in place. So I highly recommend any of you that, you know, obviously if you're hearing this, you listen to podcasts, I would highly recommend All In Podcast. That is a great show. And I was just listening to their year end, and David Sachs, that is on that, he was actually calling in, or he was at Twitter headquarters doing the podcast. He's one of the four guys on it, and Elon stopped by while he was there, so they were asking him his thoughts. And to your point, they asked him what the biggest surprise was as they got into this, or if he was surprised at all, because basically everything that we all speculated was happening at these big tech companies was happening, and then some. And one of the examples that he gave was that one thing that surprised him was the fact that there were so many former FBI and Department of Justice people working at Twitter that they had their own Slack chat group within the company. Mm-hmm. And when he assumed control and they had to start cutting employees, they had to be extremely careful because they were afraid of how much information would be bleached, as he called it, off the servers, if they weren't really careful about how they got rid of people. Because, like, they seriously, there was talk within the team that he brought in there whether or not they had thought far enough ahead that there was a poison pill, as they call it, within the software running the servers that they could crash the whole system.
It's kind of like shredded files.
Yeah, exactly.
Just on a database.
Yeah. But he said what was surprising is it had gone on for so long that really there was this arrogance about the employee base that were the woke, and really they were still the minority, but they were in a lot of positions where they could manipulate accounts and do all that. And it was just a lot of arrogance that they didn't really think that they were touchable. They thought they were untouchable. And I thought another really good point that he brought up is a lot of features have been added to Twitter since they took over, and one of them is showing your view count, which is like what you get on YouTube. You know, you can see how many people have seen that. And Elon said that he really can't take credit for a lot of the features that they've added because a lot of that was already been done. Programmers had already proposed making a lot of these changes, but they were shut down by management because the number one priority was to show daily active users. They didn't care about adding features. They cared about getting the maximum number of people, whether they were fake, whether they were bots, whether they were made up. The goal was to show the maximum number of active daily users, even if that number was fake.
Which is mind-blowing to me. It just, sometimes you think people that work at these big companies are fucking smart. But then, and they are, but there's a perfect example of, well, don't you think if you add features that entice people to want to stay on the platform or use the platform more often, that you'll get more active fucking users as a result of that?
But they're trying to take the easy way.
I mean, God.
Mean, maybe.
I don't know. I'm no big tech expert by any means, but it's just like, yeah, adding a view count, I feel like that was something that's so easy and really nice. I use the Twitter platform now, and you can see all the views somebody has on their tweet. That's a really small and cool feature that they added that entices me to, you know, want to use the platform more. It's just more analytical, and I think everybody's kind of addicted to data nowadays. So
yeah.
It's kind of what you were saying. I think Elon is kind of public enemy number one now because he is showing all this corruption and he's kind of, I mean, I don't think he's to Donald Trump's level of getting scrutinized in the media yet, or if he ever will be, but, you know, they got to find a new enemy to go after, and he seems to be the target, because I think a lot of organizations, big tech companies, just, I don't know, I think a lot of corporations are scared of him because he knows shit. I think big tech is scared of him. Other social media companies are scared of him because he's showing all this. I think the woke left is scared of him because he is not what they thought he was. And, wow, somebody could have some left-leaning opinions but also some right-leaning opinions too? Well, he must be a fucking alien. I mean, well, they really make it seem like it's so crazy that Elon is a little bit left and a little bit right. Oh, it almost seems like he's probably in the middle like most Americans are. And they want to paint that as a bad thing, but it's actually an awesome thing if you ask me.
And one thing that we haven't really touched on, and this wasn't even in my notes, and I think it's interesting to say, I'll say this, I started working on this outline like 2 weeks ago because we weren't sure when we were going to do it. And that at that time... another thing that had driven down Tesla stock was Elon had to sell shares because the cash burn at Tesla was so great, and you had advertisers leaving. If you remember, there was companies saying that they weren't going to advertise on
Twitter,
and there was even a rumor that Apple was going to take Twitter off of its app store, which then that didn't turn out to be true. And I mean, I don't know how true it was up until the point when Elon called Tim Cook's bluff, or however you want to interpret that. But since that time, this story has really evolved, and Twitter's average daily viewer count is the highest it's ever been. It has gone up dramatically. Yeah. Who could believe that?
Who could have believed that? They're adding more features and look what's happening.
Yeah. And Elon said on All In that the cash burn is manageable now, and Tesla is not in not headed for bankruptcy. Like, it's stable, it's growing. They think they've got it going. And his speed of innovation and his speed of cutting out the problems, cutting out the cancer, and eliminating what doesn't need to be there is really something that a lot of other CEOs in the tech world, you're going to see them start to emulate that. Because I was listening to a guy the other day, and he was saying, you know, one of the problems in tech is that so many of these companies, when they're growing rapidly, they feel like the way to exponential growth is to get more people. And so as soon as you can afford to add a person to take this load off of somebody so they can do more, you hire them, and you hire them, and you hire them. And you can do that until you get to the point that you find yourself like Meta was, like Facebook, where you've got so many people.
You're at a scale where it doesn't require, like, you get to where you were trying to go. I guess you get capped.
Right.
Like, Facebook got capped. Like,
yeah.
And so you might not have all the same problems that you did have when you were going, scaling, you know?
Yeah.
So those people are just kind of like, fuck Twitter. There's people doing yoga.
Right. So Elon, they asked him about the decisions as far as cutting the number of employees. And he kind of threw it back to him, and he said, well, think about Twitter as a running software system. He said, if we weren't going to add any features, how many people do you think it would actually take to keep the servers running and to have somebody at customer service replying to problems and fixing bugs? And they all sat there and they said, probably a few hundred. And he's like, exactly. And Twitter was, what was it, 8,000 people?
I don't know. I thought it was like 1,800, but I could be way
off.
Oh,
I don't know.
I have no idea. Can't remember.
Whatever the number was.
It was a larger number than that, though. It was in the thousands.
It was huge compared to what was actually needed for that. Now, that's not to say you don't need all the programmers and the people to try to make it better. But he said their policy when they went in was they wanted to keep everybody that was necessary and everybody that was exceptional. And if you weren't those two things, then you were expendable.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a big butthurt to the woke people.
Well,
you know, nobody, because everybody is exceptional. Everybody gets a participation trophy. Mm-hmm. Everybody's needed. The only problem is
that isn't the reality of business.
It's not. And that was that idea that everybody was needed, the same, a winner, whether you did your job or not, or whether you just hung out at a snack bar all day, that was perpetuated. With the culture was
that
we're just getting by and that everybody's good and, you know, whatever.
Not going to add new features, you know, just bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just sounds like it was terribly ran. Terrible.
Yeah,
it was terrible.
It really was.
And the corruption was insane. Talk a little bit about, we went over the view count, but what that's done to certain companies on the Twitter platform, like Wall Street Journal, for example.
Yeah, so David Sachs was talking about this on the All In, that he had a tweet the other day that he put out, and the view count, he looked at the view count on it, and I don't remember what it was, but then he went to the New York Times and looked at their tweet history and realized that their view count since that has been added is like nowhere near what their subscriber count is. And they asked Elon about that, and they already knew the answer. But the answer is that so many of these media outlets, they were perpetuating the problem because they were buying subscribers or followers. So basically, when you looked at CNN or you looked at the New York Times or somebody or even Fox News, all of these traditional media companies, they're part of the problem because they were buying fake
followers.
Fake followers mm-hmm. to inflate their audience and they didn't show a view count back then. So they would put out a tweet and everybody would be like, oh, these guys, they know what they're talking
about.
And
like, I think Twitter's one of those platforms, like, I think it's the only platform where the engagement on tweets, like I just saw one that had a 1.2 million views on it, but it can only get 2,000 likes. You know, it got 1.2 million. A tweet could get 1.2 million views on it, but it only gets like 1,500 or 2,000 likes. It's really not like that on TikTok. You know, if a video on TikTok gets 2 million views, you're looking at like tens thousand to 100,000s. You know, you're looking at a good amount of likes. Twitter, it's so different.
Yeah.
And so I feel like they felt like they'd get away with that, but now it's kind of biting them in the ass.
Yeah, now it's out there.
Yeah.
And his point was that you have so many... The people are going to realize now, like Paul, he was talking about politicians. Politicians are going to realize that they can get better penetration and more people, they can get their message out to more people by just putting it out themselves on Twitter rather than going through a news outlet, because they're going to realize, and they are realizing, people don't trust these media outlets. I don't care if you're Fox or CNN. People don't trust them. So if Mitt Romney, randomly. So if Mitt Romney wants to say something, he's probably going to get more views and more people to hear what he says by him just tweeting it than having a news conference and having it put out by CNN or Fox News.
I don't know why they don't do that anyway. I mean, I wouldn't trust those. I wouldn't trust the media if I was a politician worth a shit.
Yeah.
I wouldn't, unless I was in bed with them and they were paying me and they were leaning my way, then maybe
that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I don't know. The tinfoil hats, here we go again.
A feature that's coming to Twitter that they talked about, it's going to probably come sometime in January, which I think is great, is they're going to, so one of the things they've added is the blue check mark where you can verify that you are basically who you say you are, you're as a person. But they're going to start a verification that if you are somebody that tweets out and you say that you work for This'll Do Farm, you can be verified that you actually do. Like if you're tweeting and saying Disney this and Disney that, and you're saying that and it just says I work for Disney in my bio, but you're not verified, people are going to know, well, you're probably full of shit.
You're full of shit. Yeah.
You don't actually work for Disney. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have that for, and just like take like artists.
Which will be awesome because you can read in comments. Like, let's just take one example of that. You could relate it to the ag world. People saying, if we put out a video about us working in the hog barns, and then you have somebody that says, well, these pigs need to be raised outside. I was a farmer and I worked on a farm for this many years and they were so much better on pasture. And then you go to their profile and it just says, I worked on a farm, and it doesn't verify who they were.
Right.
That's nice that you can be able to say, well, yeah, that person's totally full of shit. They have no credibility and they have no idea what the hell they're talking about.
They're from Miami and yeah. They work for Xerox.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I really dated myself there. But.
So, no, that's cool. I like that feature a lot, but I was just saying we could relate it.
Yeah. So I think at the end of the day, one big takeaway I hope all of you get from this, and go do your own research, listen to some of these people, read the Twitter files that have been released.
Please read the Twitter files if you haven't.
You really do.
And if it's too confusing, because I know I was reading and I had to read it a few times to really get what's actually, some of the files are, you know, they're complicated and you just really don't know the context. Go watch, people break them down and they break them down in a really
concise
way that you can understand it. All over YouTube and probably some on TikTok or wherever you want to watch videos, go check out breakdowns of each individual Twitter file when it drops, because that helps out a lot to know what's actually going on in them. But yeah, please check those out. Every single one of you should. It's very important. It's our fucking rights.
Yeah.
They were getting taken away, and they probably still are on all other platforms.
That's my other point. So read those, understand what they are doing, but then know that this wasn't, I don't care if Twitter was the easiest place for the FBI,
CIA
to infiltrate, it wasn't the only one. There is no way that it was the only one. This is going on, and it's like we say, do your own research and don't trust what I tell you, but don't trust what media tells you. Don't trust what you heard in a story on Instagram, because
don't read the fucking headline. That's all you think is
everybody
oh, yeah.
is an expert, yeah. And everybody will tell you it's this and this and this, and you got to figure it out for yourself. But know that
there's some shady shit's going on.
Yeah, for sure, for yeah. sure.
All right, well, that's gonna wrap up Twitter. So we got one more. It's kind of a more positive note, and I don't think we've got really very much doom and gloom today. I feel good about Twitter. I feel good about Tesla, where it's heading. It's on sale. It's a fire sale. I feel good about Twitter. I think that they're the best platform freedom of speech wise. Even though Elon might be leaving, I still feel good about it. Yeah. So I feel good there. But this is something that's really great and could be amazing for the world. So talk about it a little bit, because the whole story.
I'm going to say this, though. If any of you are curious as to what's going to be on upcoming episodes of the podcast, one new feature that I'm doing, because I've gotten on Twitter and I really enjoy it, is I'm going to do, like, whenever we sit down to do an episode, I'm going to do a little video on Twitter talking about who our guest is, what we're going to talk about, what we're shooting that week. So,
Barn Talk Show
on Twitter.
It's either Barn Talk or Barn Talk Show.
I think it's just at Barn Talk.
It's at Barn Talk on Twitter. If you want to go follow us on Twitter, guys, follow us on Twitter.
There you go. It's the up and coming.
You can check out all of our likes and what we're talking about on there. So yeah, I'm letting Dad run the Twitter because I'm trying to post on all the other ones, and I'm like, you got to run the Twitter. So if you want to talk to Torque directly, DM him on Twitter at Barn Talk, and you can.
There you go.
Yeah,
you might get a reply.
Yeah, might maybe. Not. Maybe.
So this kind of got brushed over, I feel like, partially because it's over all of our heads and partially because with all the negative news and the war in Ukraine and the Twitter files and just politics in general, it kind of got shoved to the back page. But I think it was on December the 5th. I got to look. Yeah, on December 5th, these researchers at, so I get the name right, the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory used 192 lasers pointed at a pencil eraser-sized cylinder that contained hydrogen encased in diamond. And what they did is they shot all those lasers at one time, which probably used a shitload of power. But the result of that, and you can explain it with some really big words, but the result of that was that the reaction that took place, which basically was like a controlled nuclear explosion. So kind of the difference between like a nuclear bomb and nuclear fusion is a bomb takes place. If you drop a nuke, there's no, it's not held in anything. And fusion, it's held within a tight cylinder where it can't get away. So you harness that power. And that's what they did. And the power that it created, the energy that it created, because energy and power are not necessarily, they're not the same thing, was greater than the energy it took to make that happen. And I wouldn't say that this is a breakthrough, because they've known for a long time that this was possible. They just didn't know how to make it happen. And this happened on a very, it was the size of, you know, the tip of your finger. And so the amount of energy that was produced, not that great, but it was greater than what was used. So the ramifications for that is cold fusion. And the potential, what that can lead to is basically unlimited, low-cost power for the entire world. And you might, you know, think, oh, you're off your rocker. But it is clean. It is renewable. And it's repeatable. And you don't have to, unlike fuel that when you burn it, it is gone, you know, unlike coal that you dig out of the ground or oil that you pump out of the ground. And unlike, you know, sun and wind that don't happen all the time, cold fusion using hydrogen is sustainable, repeatable.
Not much resources needed.
No. It is literally the kind of stuff that if you take it to its logical conclusion, everything would run on electricity. So you talk about electric vehicles, you would still use electric vehicles. And the reason is because you could produce energy at such a cheap rate that pretty much everything would just run on electricity. The internal combustion engine just couldn't compete because it can't be efficient enough.
And the cost of energy the market would decide.
Right.
It'd be stupid. It makes so much more sense to drive an EV versus using fuel.
And you'll heat your house with electricity. You won't heat your house with natural gas or LP just because electricity would be so plentiful and so cheap that that's what you'd go. And if you take the technology far enough, you can shrink the size of the generator, the size of the reactor, to where, you know, when it comes to shipping, you would just have a reactor upon a ship. I mean, much like today, you know, the Air Force carriers, they're nuclear powered. They have a reactor, and that's what they run on. That's how they stay out to sea for as long as they do, because they don't have to be constantly refueled. Same thing, only you would have a cold fusion reactor. And this is the stuff that sci-fi is built of. I mean, this is what we grew up on.
Back to the Future, baby.
Yeah, this is Captain Kirk telling Scotty to, you know, give her all she's got, because that fusion reactor is what will eventually power Starship. When Elon talks about Starship today, you've got 35 Raptor engines that are burning oxygen and methane. Well, you eliminate all that, and if you can harness cold fusion, now that's a ways off, but you can generate that much power to where you don't need to burn that.
And so this is the first time that we've ever done this as humans, as it got it to work?
It's the first time that they've ever done it where they got more energy out of it than what it took to make it happen.
Okay.
So they've been able to do it. I mean, it's been able to be done. And this actually happens. Like, when a nuclear bomb goes off, this fusion happens.
Obviously, more energy goes out when a fucking nuke hits.
But the thing is, it's not contained.
Right.
It's not contained, and it's not sustainable, and it's very, very dangerous and all that. What they did is they did it in a controlled environment where that energy that was released, they could channel that. So in other words, if you can perfect it at scale, you would have a nuclear reaction going off, and you would channel all that power, all that energy
to go where
to
you
drive
wanted
a turbine, but then that energy that released is not radioactive or anything like that, to where it's clean.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the kind of getting off in the weeds, and
I don't think so. I think it'd be great. I think everybody in the world would love to have cheap, clean energy. I don't, if you got a problem with that, I mean, what's wrong with you? I mean, I know everybody likes to roll coal on motherfuckers, and you know, it's great, but you can still do that.
Yeah.
You know, but hell, if you want to power your house, you do it the cheapest and cleanest way you can, why wouldn't you? I mean,
I think what's so interesting about this development to me is it just reminds me, and this is a thought that I've had a lot, and I've talked about it on here, that my view of the future is I just see on one hand, it can be so unbelievably
amazing
because if you take cold fusion to where power is plentiful, cheap, low cost,
clean
technology, the power of robotics, the power of AI, to where your daily tasks, you do not have to do
all the bullshit that you hate.
Creativity within the world will grow exponentially, and so many of the dangerous jobs, and let's face it, some of the most dangerous jobs in the world is getting energy out of the ground in mm-hmm. various ways, creating energy. That's some of the most dangerous jobs. You eliminate all that. But then on the other hand, you think about that, and you think of all the people who don't really want the world to have cheap, clean, sustainable, cheap. Like there's a big group of people that don't like anything that starts with cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can't profit from it. And right. So then you have to ask yourself, you know, which way are we going to go? Because the one way really is freedom to be creative, freedom to live your best life.
Best for the human experience.
Right.
Could be the greatest, most efficient, happiest. I mean, if you really don't have to do all the bullshit that you hate doing every day, and you could just do it, what you want to do every single day of your life with the people you want to do it with, wouldn't you be the happiest you probably ever could be? Probably. I mean, it could be go that way where it's the best human experience ever in history.
And then the other way is China, where there's technology that's controlling everything you do, the programmable digital currency. You know, the countries that don't want Bitcoin, don't want Ethereum, don't want crypto, they want their own
dollar. Digitally.
Digital dollar that they can program, control, shut you off, keep you from buying what you want to buy, and then
building robots that are cops.
Yeah, that control. So it's I think they call that a dystopian view or something like that. At some point, well, I shouldn't say at some point, every day these competing views are being fought out or being developed, and it's just a question as to who we're going to let make decisions over the human race as to what direction we go. And I think the other thing that's really important, and this goes to, we're not going to really get into this today, but something that we talked about is OpenAI, what's ChatGTP?
Yeah, ChatGPT, yep.
And what that is it's an open AI platform where you can just ask it a question.
It talks back.
And it talks back to you.
Answers your question.
And it's the fastest growing platform that has ever been created. It got to 100,000
I don't know. I'm not going to say it because I don't know the number. It is the fastest. It's faster than Angry Birds, faster than Pinterest, faster than Instagram.
30 days. It got to 100,000 subscribers.
No, it's I think it's a million. I think it's like 100 million, 10 million.
I know it was in 30 days.
Yeah, it's the fastest it's ever grown. I don't know what the metric was, but yeah, it's like if you haven't checked that out yet, you should go check it out, watch a video on it because like everybody... Yeah, we can't go down this rabbit hole, but pretty much you could say make me a report about World War II, or make me an essay about World War II,
but dumb it down a little bit,
and it will print out an essay,
and then you look at that and say okay, do it, but. Give it a darker viewpoint, and it would do it.
And it prints out a new essay, a different version of that essay.
So what I'm telling you is those two, when we talk about those two different futures, the one thing you can't say, which is our most human reaction, is to say, that's not going to happen, and I don't want that to happen.
Or I don't want to think about it.
And I don't want to think about it, because it's going to happen. It's just a matter of which way it's going to go and the amount of time. And I always make the comment on some of this stuff that we talk about. I'm like, well, I think I'll safely arrive at death's door before I have to make that decision.
I don't know,
but I
Dad.
Don't think that I will.
I think it's coming in your lifetime.
So
I think it is coming in your lifetime.
Yep.
There's no doubt in my mind that cold fusion, AI... I think some level of robotics.
Oh, Tesla bot's going to be wiping
I mean,
my
guys,
ass,
you
got to
think about how technology has advanced. It just gets faster. The more tools we create, it gives us the opportunity to create more tools faster. And like the development of robotics, the development of AI, since we've created the internet, since we've created a database and these platforms and these companies taking in all this data from consumer behavior, you know, it's just making everything faster. And so, yeah, you're in your 50s now, but you got 50 more years to go, buddy. So,
oh yeah,
I would say I don't think you're gonna miss it, I don't think you'll see the downfall of the human race. You know, I don't think you'd see that. I might see that.
Well. Yeah, because you could get half the people end up if you had your kid watch the movie WALL-E where everybody's, you know, floating around in these chambers and, you know, not doing anything. You know, half the people could end up doing that, getting their universal basic income checks, and then the other half could be figuring out a way to, you know, siphon off everybody else's universal basic income check. So who knows what
we're going to Mars. Who knows what we'll be doing?
Yeah. I mean, the possibilities are endless.
We'll be farming on fucking Mars.
But one thing is true. Change is
coming.
Well, change is constant. It just is. And I think it's really interesting. And
change is happening more often nowadays.
Faster.
But more drastic too.
Yes.
The advancements are just more and more drastic. You know, like Grandpa lived to be 99.
Yep.
Rode a horse to school. He saw some amazing innovations.
Yep.
But like the talk of going from, for you, the computer, the internet, the iPhone, social media, crypto, artificial intelligence, robotics, self-driving cars. Like this is, I mean, truly you might see Back to the Future. Mm-hmm. You saw that movie when you were a kid or a teenager.
Yep.
And it might be even more advanced than that movie was.
I have a copy of all the sports statistics back to 1945, just in case.
Time travel happens.
Yeah, because
you can go bet.
You betcha. I'm gonna clean up, so just know.
You got that.
I got it.
Yep. All right. Well, I think that's going to conclude it, guys. All these topics that we talked about today, I think, are fairly positive. I'm happy where Tesla could go. I'm happy where Twitter is. I'm happy that we're making advancements for the human race, making things better that, you know, the media doesn't really want to cover the happy stuff, but this is a happy topic that I think, or it's just a good thing for the human race. I mean, cold fusion is a good thing for the human race, and, you know, they don't really like talking about that, but hey, we're going to talk about it here on Barn Talk. So we got one more thing before we sign off. We got a bourbon whiskey, whiskey of the day, whiskey of the week, whiskey of the podcast.
I feel like it's been kind of like whiskey of the month. I don't remember.
Whiskey of the month, yeah.
Last time we did a whiskey.
Yeah. Well, why don't you tell them what we got?
So I actually bought it. I bought two bottles. Did you? I didn't steal your bottle.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You probably, nice. You didn't even know.
I didn't even notice. You could have stolen.
So Sawyer turned me on to the show Peaky Blinders.
Tommy fucking Shelby.
And he really liked Thomas Shelby. And I had to turn the subtitles on because it was
accent.
So hard to understand. But it was a great show. And Bush Mills worked out a deal with the production company that owns the rights to it. And they produced a prohibition recipe Irish whiskey by order of the Shelby Company, and the Shelby Company is the family that's portrayed in Peaky Blinders. So
and it's during Prohibition.
Yeah, yeah, it's during, it goes through that whole,
and they drink like fishes, that whole family.
You know, they drink tea in the movie or in the show. They drink tea that they're pouring in there.
He takes that, he drinks that shit like it's nothing.
Because nobody could function if
no,
they were
drinking. No way.
So anyway, I don't know if they're still producing it or not. It was kind of a one-off deal, and I saw it, and I got a bottle for Sawyer, and I figured we'd try it today. There's no age statement on it. My feeling is that it might not be like.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what are you expecting?
Well, I've read the reviews, and they aren't bad, but this might be a deal where. Neither one of us might have the most smoothest look when we take it. This might be shot worthy whiskey, maybe. I don't know, but anyway,
we'll give it a whiff.
It smells really good. It smells smooth.
I feel that. Like it's gonna burn. I think it's gonna hit me instantly. That's my prediction.
Well, before we're going to toast a little, we're going to have a little toast because this is the last show of 2022, but we've got some people we need to thank.
All right.
We need to thank Kiowa.
Yes. Shout out to Kiowa Keith. Kiowa is our editor that breaks down all of the podcasts into clips that we post on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, YouTube Shorts, all that. Kiowa is the man that gets all that shit done for us, and we could not have grown this thing to where we're at today without him. Shout out to my girlfriend, Kat. We recently brought her on, I don't know, it's probably been 2-3 months ago, and she learned how to edit the podcast, and she actually learned how to edit the This Will Do Farm YouTube videos, and that's helped us out tremendously on being more consistent for you guys. So shout out to you, Kat. Couldn't do it without you. Shout out to my brother Clay. He just recently came on and he's helping us out, and he's already helped us out tremendously. Even within, I don't know, a month of coming on, he's helped us get some guests on, and so that's been really nice. Shout out to Torque for being an awesome co-host. I wouldn't have had it any other way. I wouldn't want to do a podcast with anybody else, and I think our dynamic is fucking awesome, and it's one of a kind.
Pretty good.
It's one of a kind. Shout out to the Lawrence Whistler for building this fucking barn that we're sitting in here today, because without him, this podcast would never existed, and a lot of shit wouldn't have existed without him. So just glad that we're doing it, and I'm happy that you guys find what we say to be valuable in whatever way it's valuable to you. And I almost fucking forgot the most important part. You guys. Shout out to you guys. Thank you for all of your support throughout this year. And I hope that you guys continue on with us into 2023. Because none of this would be possible without you guys, but without everybody else that works behind the scenes. So yeah, just grateful for every single person that's involved and every single one of you guys that checks us out and listens to us or watches us and supports us. So is that a good toast?
Yeah, you pretty much hijacked my toast. Good job.
Well, you're the best one-liner guy that I know. So what's a good one-liner?
I think at the end of the day, we're going to drink to legacy because that's what we're building right here.
Yeah, so that's right. To legacy. Holy shit.
Woo.
Yeah, that ain't good. That's not good. I do not recommend.
That is a strong finish.
Holy shit. That's strong no matter. That's strong finish, strong start. Not good flavor. I don't like the flavor at all.
I would say that. But don't you feel like that is what Prohibition whiskey would taste like?
Oh, yeah. I bet it did. Oh my gosh.
It had more flavor than what I thought it would have.
I didn't like the flavor.
But it's a very strong, quick finish and
hits you right away.
The warmth is already washing over me.
Yeah. I can feel it in my cheeks.
I forgot. I can't remember is it 92 proof? I think it's 92 proof is what it is.
Yep, 92 proof Irish whiskey.
No age statement on it.
Well, Tommy Shelby can take it better than I can, but
yes,
that motherfucker's a savage, so I wouldn't expect anything less from him. But yeah, thank you to all of you guys. Seriously, we really do appreciate every single one of you guys that tune into the show, and we're really excited for what 2023 is going to bring for us, who we're going to bring on, what we're going to talk about. I think it could be the best year yet. I really think we've built some really foundational years. We kind of got a system in place now. We got the people behind us now to really crank some shit out and do a lot of good. So
we just got to execute.
Yep.
And we can do that most days.
Yep. That's right. So, and if you haven't checked out Peaky Blinders yet, highly recommend that show on Netflix. It's so underrated. And everybody says they can't make it through the first episode, but just get through the first episode, and I promise you, I think this crowd, the people that listen to this podcast, would really like Peaky Blinders.
Yeah.
It's great. So that's all we got for you guys today. Shitty whiskey, wouldn't recommend, but great topics. Hope you guys got some value out of it. If you did, please pay the fee, share the show. Get some merch if you want at thisilldoco.com. We'll have it in the show notes if you're listening, or the description if you're watching on YouTube. Submit your questions at barntalkshow@gmail.com. Q&A is coming, so the questions that we get in recent, those will probably be on the next Q&A episode we do. So without further ado, we'll see you guys back here next week for another episode.